Manamana.
What you doing, Morris?
Manamana. Manamana.
So John and Steven here. So it'll be like John and Steven here, these two, and I'll just hang out back here and then I'll leave.
Love it.
Or, I mean, I'll hang out until they get there.
Main thing with this scene is if you make even the slightest comment, just get right on the mic. If you're even going to laugh or go, ha-ha, or whatever. Or else it sounds like it's weird. It doesn't sound right.
Yeah. Sounds like you're in some other world. That's good. You can sit next to John and he can pet you then.
Careful on the steps.
Very narrow steps. Hi, guys.
We've been here before.
I know. I'm putting on my bag just to be nice to you.
Hello.
I feel like somebody should, and I'm
as
the host. And I'm the hostess, so I will. I will, but why don't you guys go?
Okay.
I feel like it was one out of four does it.
Okay, fine.
Good. I mean, you guys know each other.
The microphone.
We're not worried about the two of you infecting each other, so.
Yeah. God knows.
Okay. So each one of you guys is going to be kind of here-ish.
Well, I better hit the restroom before I do this.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Just in case.
Hello, Marble.
Turn off the phone. Please silence your cell phone.
You got the sound files, right?
Yes, they're all
queued up. The third one is a little hummy. I don't know whether you can...
It's totally fine.
I know it's funny to do a radio show about your show after the show, but it's nice to have you guys here, though.
Well, the thing is, we are hoping, we're editing the video that we took.
Oh, okay.
So I think we may actually be doing, you know, it online. We're hoping to do a paid thing online, so... We'll push that. And then we went to dinner tonight with the actors for Lewiston. So we're moving forward with the next show already.
There you go. See?
So
never
there
sleep.
We go.
Never sleep.
No, we never sleep. Yeah.
when I built the fireworks stand today. Yeah.
Lewiston. It's a beautiful play. It's really wonderful.
All right.
Okay, oh dear. Ta-da.
Hey, John.
Hi. Yeah.
So, basically, no one else. Nancy is not available.
Okay. Okay.
So we have basically the time at the beginning to do whatever we want, and then I have some tape material.
Okay.
Pre-tape material.
All right.
So we can talk about this gulch and anything else about Bridge Street you want to.
Okay, yeah. Fine. Okay, great.
You know, say a half hour, unless you think that's too long. You know.
I don't know. Whatever. We can probably talk.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I don't know. Okay, fine.
I mean, it's a 2-hour show, but he'll fill it. He's got some other stuff that they recorded yesterday. With
yeah, we may conk out.
Oh,
we're,
yeah.
This is too late for us.
Oh, same here. Oh, I was just up on the couch sleeping. I was like, oh, my God, how am I going to do it? But then you drove.
We went, wait a minute. We've got to be back. And for the third time, we have to come back today.
What?
Come back to Catskill today, right?
Yes, to keep Marble.
Hello, Marble.
Don't eat kitty poo.
It's gross.
That's really, really
gross.
Fucking gross.
She's like,
Ms.
why
Marble.
Are you guys talking to me like that?
Hello, Marble.
All right, so we have about 4 minutes.
Okay.
Until we go on the air, and I'll do an intro.
Okay.
And Allison may chat with me.
Never.
No, not a chance.
Never
happened. All right.
Well, such a drinking violet.
All right. Oh, motherfucker. Okay.
What?
Uh-oh.
So, go ahead. So, when you're talking, you should get right on the mic.
Right on the mic.
Yeah.
1, 2.
Love it.
Do we
Hello.
Put on these two?
I don't think so. I think you said.
You can wear those if you like,
but
that's not necessary. The main thing is be on the mic.
1, 2, 1, 2, and through and through.
Yep. Just, in fact, John, right, just. Touch it.
1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that's what we like. We like
okay,
it nice
1, 2, 1, 2.
But. Yep, that's sounding good. And I'll keep an
and,
eye.
Oh, and we can't talk about money. Don't talk about money.
Yeah, everything just
money.
It's all.
Why would we talk about money?
You can't like say tickets
yeah.
cost money.
Yeah.
Anything like
yeah,
so
exactly.
Everything should be in passive voice.
Right.
Information can be found on the website.
Very
oh,
good.
Really? Okay.
Just go to Bridges.
Well, you'll
forget.
Oh no, yeah, you may go to.
But contrary to the classic formula, bitch gets boy, bitch brags about boy, bitch bids boy goodbye.
He may be leftover. There may be leftovers from
leftover Miss Gulch.
Miss Gulch. He may,
oh,
he may fade into.
Oh, honey,
he made it.
It's
fade
gonna
into.
Take a while to cleanse her from my system.
Oh, it's not gonna happen,
Steve.
Amazing,
Steve.
Oh, jeez, Louise. I mean, just like you know, I'm literally finding myself. Well.
And when he coughs, he has some pain in his side that flares up. He's
I have a hernia.
well, no, it's something in his
I
side.
Pulled
he pulled a muscle,
something.
And
yeah,
when he coughs, it's like a nightmare.
When I cough, it's like, ah. And I can't feel where it is because of all the flab. It's terrible. It's a horrible thing.
Uh-oh. Carmen is under the table already.
Did he drink his way there? I don't know. We had a big pre-rehearsal dinner with
we did. It was
our
wonderful.
Cast and crew tonight.
Okay, he's trying to figure out if this is going to go online at all.
Oh.
Okay.
Manamana.
What?
Could become a designated supporter.
So probably about 3 minutes away.
Okay. Really? Oh, 3 minutes now.
Well, there's 4 minutes of stuff at the top.
I have one after 10 already.
However. Yeah. Our streamer is it is running. We're just waiting for them to switch us over.
Great.
So there is a possibility. If you hear us echoing there, that means we're on the air.
Oops. No, oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess they switched us over. All right. Okay, so we're going to hang out here for a second. We don't want to disturb it because there's supposed to be another 2 minutes. Hold on a second. Here we go. Gimme. Hold on. You know, everything takes
forever. Looks like a real studio here.
It's an illusion. Okay, we're going to let a little ambiance go here for a minute while we figure this out. Oh, yeah. You are listening to The Mosquito on WGXC FM 90.7 Catskill, Acre, Hudson. We are in the...
We're in Acre?
You may be
oh
in Acre.
Oh, my God.
You may be in Acre, but I, my friend, am here safely in Catskill where I belong. There we go. Let's get rid of some of these sound effects back here. All right, let's see. Yeah, it's actually looking pretty good here. All right. So, see how that's us on the air. We're not supposed to do this, but... Anyway, so that's the echo, and we're going to turn that off.
Turn my phone
this
off.
This is the thing, is you turn off the phone and it's still... You hear it. Anyway, it doesn't matter, because... All right. So here we are, and... it's good to be out of the jungle all of a sudden. And welcome to The Mosquito. My name is Carmen Borgia. I am your host this evening. We are ordinarily co-hosted by myself and Nancy Giles. In fact, Nancy's really the star. She's like a TV person and is like on TV and stuff. And the reason she's not here, well, I didn't even tell you she wasn't here, but now I'm saying she's not going to be here tonight. We will have her virtually because we did a pre-taping yesterday, Sunday. Dudes, you can admire that all you want, okay? No joke. We taped. And so we're going to roll that tape later as whoever says that. So that'll be happening. let's see. I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, because this might be a non-disclosure thing. Anyway, she's out shooting a thing for, I'm going to guess it's, I'm not really sure, some TV Sunday thing. It's great. I don't want to say too much because maybe I'm not supposed to, but she's out in the, I don't want to say too much. She's outdoors. But I have to tell you, everything is the thing. So yeah, she's outdoors. And there's a musician involved who's somewhat airborne, and she appears to be firmly planted on the ground. It looks like fun. It looks cool. So she'll tell us more about that maybe a little later when in the taped segment. Susan Burns will be joining us. In the meantime, it's me and Allison Davey once in a while piping in. Allison, is that you? Wait a minute. Turn your microphone on. Is there a switch?
Now I'm here.
See,
piping.
You
got to
flip
right
the switch,
right,
man. You got to flip the switch. And we also have with us Stephen Patterson of the Bridge Street Theater. You heard him gasp if you held your ear closely to your speaker, as you should be doing in this case. And also John Soule is joining us.
Hey ho.
And
those tiresome old guys.
Well, I mean, you know, we're all here together, baby. So you know.
In our little basement
That's right. Our
enclave.
Our little Catskill basement on a hill bachelor recording. I'm not a bachelor. I'm a married guy. But no. Dude Cave recording studio. Wow. So,
Dude Cave.
Yeah, you're totally in Dude Cave land. So Nancy, we're wishing you well. Out there, she is. In fact, I was told, like, in the airplane, in the air. So that's why she can't even be sneaking in on the phone.
We
with
do
us.
Love you, Nancy.
Yes.
Remember when you appeared at our theater?
That's right.
In the concert version of Carmen's South.
Yeah. Well, we've got like the. So usually the mosquito originated in New York City. It was Nancy's thing. It's her response to the NPR. Show called The Moth, and she was like, you know, I don't think the moth is that good of an insect, really, and we should do a mosquito.
Pretty bland. I don't know.
You know, moth, schmoth. And so it kind of percolated or brewed or developed or composted or whatever, however we would say it, in New York City over a period of about 5 years. We would perform at Dixon Place in the city about once a month. And things got busy at Dixon Place, and they've had some other things going on, and this was just before COVID, and then COVID came along, and all of a sudden we're just talking on the phone, like, didn't we used to do a show? And we're like, yeah, and I said, well, I called WGXC. So now we've ported it over here to WGXC. So we did one show last month, so we are going to be third Mondays of each month. And we did our first show last month, and it worked out really well. We were very pleased, and we had lots of cool guests, and they were all from New York. And this week, they've all abandoned us. So the studio has been taken over by the Catskill performing mafia, which is the Don-in-Chief would be John Soule, who's artistic director of the Bridge Street Theater.
Mm-hmm.
And we have
what
Steven.
What am I, a consigliere? What is this?
I think of you more as a lieutenant, but,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, probably.
No, you're not a lieutenant. You're like you're a co-conspirator. I don't know what it is. It's and we have Steven.
I'm the Fredo.
Oh, I'm just glad I'm not Fredo, that's all. I always have to be Fredo.
I just hope I'm not that Sicilian chick who gets blown up in the car.
Well, she was good looking until that's, you know, so she had a, yeah, I remember her more than most of the rest of the movie.
Maybe
honestly.
I can be Diane Keaton.
Oh, now you're talking.
Yeah, there we go.
There we go.
So, yeah, so the Catskill's taken over, and we're happy to have the baton, and we've been looking forward for a long time to this audio commingling.
And I noticed lately the mosquitoes are like out and about,
yeah,
in Catskill.
Here in Catskill.
Very
so
intense.
There's
very intense.
We still get all the mosquito scene in Catskill. It's completely true.
Yeah. So there we are. We're everywhere.
Yeah, no, that's how I know it's time to knock off for the evening outdoors, because it's like I start getting eaten on the ankles,
yep,
and all that. So Stephen and
John, did you direct this?
I directed, designed it, yeah.
So there's a show that just closed at Bridge Street Theater, and it's called Miss Gulch Returns. Is that correct? And Stephen, I'm going to let him tell you something. I'll tell you, well, let's see. I'll tell you a little bit first. I saw the show on Saturday evening, and it was very fantastic. And Tom Judson plays piano excellently. And it's and Stephen will correct me. I would say it's a drag show. And
somewhat. I mean, you know, I would not claim to be particularly successful in drag, but I think that's part of the fun of this show.
Well, I'm thinking of it just simply literally that you're, you know, taking the role of this female, you know, this.
Right. Well,
we want to say spurned, but it's so much weirder than that.
Well, you know, for those out there who might be a little confused, you might recall that Miss Gulch, Almira Gulch, is the woman in The Wizard of Oz who comes riding in on her bicycle to take away Toto, who's Dorothy's dog, and have him euthanized because she's single and bitter and
mean
and runs the town.
Yeah.
She turns up later, of course.
It's a spoiler, right, to say that Miss Gulch. So in The Wizard of Oz, in the beginning, in the black and white segment,
right,
we see these real humans, and then when we see the fantasy, Miss Gulch becomes
the Wicked Witch of the West.
Whoa. Okay.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Spoiler, please.
But she's
anyone who hasn't seen The Wizard of Oz at this point, I mean, come on.
But talk to us a little. I mean, but this sort of, you know, fantasy reality crossover. I mean, Wicked is about this territory, right?
Right. Yeah.
And there have been other things like this. I mean, The Wizard of Oz is much loved for plundering. I believe.
Yeah. Yes, and yeah. Judy Garland is much loved for plundering in the gay community. So, No, it is a drag show in the sense that I do transform. I, you know, put on a skirt and basically play the character of Miss Gulch for a majority of the show. But there's a whole other layer going on. Fred Barton, who wrote this, wrote it back in the early 80s while he was doing Summer Stock. He's a guy who's an amazing musical director and composer and pianist, has done a lot of stuff off-Broadway and on-Broadway. But back in the early 80s when he was doing Summer Stock, he started creating material for the character of Miss Gulch, for himself to perform at, like, parties at the end of the season.
I see. So it took him a while to develop the pieces
to the
songs.
He eventually started doing material for these every year for these shows and eventually wound up with enough material. He went, you know, I should really assemble this as a whole, like, lounge or cabaret act and do it as a full-length evening. And yeah, so that's eventually what happened. And the character actually starts out as a sort of, you know, tuxedoed lounge performer.
Yes, it makes it interesting because I understand what you're saying
it's not quite just Miss Gulch.
There's not costume changes. There's not like lots of wardrobe.
No.
It really
no.
is it's It's a character that gets inhabited by this person.
Well, it gets inhabited by this guy who sort of finds himself as a gay man of a certain age who is out there in the bars, you know, trying to make connections. And once you get past a certain age, you kind of become invisible.
Right.
And he finds himself relating to the character of Miss Gulch, who's this elderly spinster in The Wizard of Oz who
would appear to have absolutely no romantic life, and he imagines himself into her character because he relates to her so much and spends, you know, a majority of the show sort of expressing his own romantic frustrations through the character of Almira Gulch.
Huh. That's pretty cool. Yes, I found I very much enjoyed the piece, and I found the whole thing relatable. So I,
excellent.
You know, it's yeah.
Even as a non-single, non-gay man.
Even as an ungay dude. Even as one of the ungay, I related to it. Well, it you know, it's got all these themes of rejection and being close to really great things and you know, what it's like to be the person that's sort of, she's the competent one. She knows what she, I mean, it's
right.
Maybe not explicit in the play, but that's sort of in the mythology, right? A little
well,
bit.
Well, again,
so.
You know, to be the person who's kind of in this supporting role where early on in the show, she talks about, did you ever notice how everybody in The Wizard of Oz got to sing a big number except for me? You know, she's the one who didn't get the big number.
Yeah.
And who has always kind of felt like, I want my moment in the spotlight.
Well, and, you know.
And I never get it.
Without her, there's no Wizard of Oz.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
It's, no, she's the, yeah. All right. Well, let's see here. I have a couple things queued up.
Sweet.
Let me see if I can get my thing. We have a few songs here. And we'll give you a taste. Dead air apologies.
Not for long.
We can fill the air.
Okay. Okay. Well, we have the fabulous opening. Well, it's not really the opening number, but let's see. I guess I can
Which
say the titles.
It,
well, we have I'm a Bitch.
Yeah, that's
we have
the first one, yeah.
Pour Me a Man. And then we have a third one,
okay.
Which is Everyone Worth Taking.
I'm a Bitch is probably, the one to begin
start
with.
Yeah.
This is the number that supposedly Miss Gulch would have sung in The Wizard of Oz if they hadn't decided to cut.
Right, yes.
I love this. Okay, so let's give us here we go, Mr. Tape. Let's roll us.
Did you ever happen to notice how everybody in The Wizard of Oz got to sing a big number except for me? No, I had one. Yeah, they cut it. They almost cut Over the Rainbow, but somebody was always helping that girl. The concert career cult legend, Academy Award nomination, six husbands, the whole McGillan. What did I get out of it? Why, I had gotten to sing my big number in that picture. Flamboyant men would be putting on dresses and impersonating me. Of course, I still have the number, but I was going. Oh, all right, I'll do it for you. It's called I'm a Bitch. Now pay attention to the rhyme scheme, all you aspiring songwriters. Oh, it's got double, triple, internals, and it, oh, well, it's a little tricky, but, oh, you'll see. I'm a Bitch. Goes like this. I'm a creature born to fight time, a screecher in the night, why I'm in poison, I'm the itch. I'm really thriving when I'm conniving, nothing new in me, it's the shrew in me, between you and me, I'm a bitch. Listen, I told you in advance it was called I'm a Bitch. What did you expect I was going to rhyme with itch, huh? Okay, stay with me. In a royal bitchy mood, I could spoil frozen food if that's my walking through the kitsch. Can't help but be vindictive. It's just addictive. That old crappiness is my happiness. I hope that most will pardon my boast or even toast that I'm a bitch. My characteristics defy statistics. My point has been unique since my very first day. My mom suspicion, diagnosed my disposition, so I kicked him, my first victim, in my inimitable way. In the rancor of a tanker at the hit, and I commit my mouth and never drop a stitch. Cause in my maliciousness, I find deliciousness, and I'm venomous, not for venomous. It's unanimous. If you're all on the pitch, yeah, sentiments malevolent seem to be prevalent. Isn't it queer? Isn't it reach? I'm a bitch.
Yeah, people, this is why we go to the theater.
Yes, well.
No, really and truly. That song was so fabulous. Everything about it, it's like intricate. It's intricate in a way that's very engaging to the brain. It's like fun. It's like every little moment's a new surprise.
Well,
like musically. It's
wild. I know, you know, when Fred wrote it, I mean, he literally was, you know, trying to channel, you know, Noel Coward and Cole Porter and that whole tradition of, you know, homosexual lounge singers who did sophisticated, you know, double entendre and interior rhymes and all this clever stuff that, you know, the upper crust could just absolutely just adore, but, you know, still kind of hold those horrible gay people at arm's length. And, you know, I think in our program note that Fred wrote, he was literally talking about, you know, the fact that, you know, like Noel Coward said, you know, these people were sort of considered, they're wonderful, but they only have a talent to amuse.
Right. Well, it means that you can. It means a heterosexual person or somebody who they can launder their desires and preferences through this other character.
Right.
And because they're sort of revolting to them somehow, even though it's a thing that they can't live without. Yeah, everybody should get a little credit as the thing.
Oh, we're so sophisticated because we...
But, you know, that it is transgressive in a... you know, all the entendres are, you know, to me they're like shocking, but there's very little profanity in it. It's the way you're supposed to be shocked. You know, like you all work for it. It's good. All right, we got another one to play here. Speaking of entendres, double and otherwise.
Oh, brother. Yeah.
All right. So, we're gonna give you a little taste of Pour Me a Man here. Here we go.
Yes, the apple pop kicked. My loneliness was chronic. She went swimming in a sea of jazz and gin. Remember Almira, she used to tell me, you're never alone with a vodka tonic. I can hear her now, whatever bar I'm in. Booze, mama told me, booze will keep you happy till you're 6 feet under grass. And though I've toasted Mom in heaven since I was 6 or 7, my happiness has yet to come to pass. When I find I'm hot to trot, Ma's advice goes down real nice, but it just don't hit the spot. Now there's one drink they can't sell me. Bitch forgot to tell me a man doesn't come in a glass. What good is whiskey? I've been through the best in the bar. Whiskey ain't got whiskers wrapped around a cigar. Pour me a face black with bristle. Watch me wet my whistle. Just pour me a man. What good is scotch, whether it's with or without the old twist? Scotch ain't got a watch around its hairy left wrist. Pour me a bulging bicep bastard.
watch me get plastered. Just call me a man. Ears ain't got two ears, two eyes, two arms, two legs under a pair of overalls. Pour me a mug with a head on top. I'll chug him drop by drop and make him last as long as I can. Pour me a thug, pockmarked and pit-faced. I'll still end up shit-faced. Pour me a straight up. Better make it a stiff one. Pour me a double, nothing but trouble, man.
Okay. All right, pour me a man. That's pretty excellent. yeah, so that had all the doubles, the triples.
Double, yeah. Triple internal rhymes and double entendre.
We were saying that, yeah.
It was like major.
Yeah. And Fred said, you can never sing that song too slowly.
I love, that's an excellent, I like that direction.
Well,
that's really good.
I mean, it's true. I mean, it really was written as a slow drag, you know, sort of a Bessie Smith number.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be done, you know, completely out of context from the show as just, you know, a really punchy, you know, raunchy number and get a really great reaction. But to have its full effect, I think it has to be done that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other thing is there's the musical thing, which I think you're totally delivering. And
I hope.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, you're totally delivering it. And but this is the other thing, is that you're in like the Miss Gulch white top, red tie, hipless, straight skirt, funeral hat.
Yeah.
And you're, you know, shaking it like there's no tomorrow, and the whole thing really works. So I was glad I got so this is the funny thing, is that it wasn't like there's lots of costume changes, but you're, you know, really bringing different parts of the character out at different times.
Well, it's wild too. There's a reprise of this number later, and one of the things that we really had to work on too was, why are the two different? In this one, I mean, she's really expressing her horniness, you know, her absolute desperation that, you know, what she really wants isn't alcohol, which she consumes a lot of. Mm-hmm. What she really wants is love. She wants a man. And the later reprise happens when she's in the midst of an affair with basically her dream man, even knowing that it's probably not going to last. But the reprise is completely celebratory. It's just going, hey, screw alcohol. I got what I was after.
Well, alcohol is just a substitute.
Temporary substitute for a more permanent chemical deficiency within all of us. Yeah.
Well, very enjoyable. So I want to take just a moment to say you're listening to WGXC 90.7 Catskill Hudson Acre radio for open ears. My name is Carmen Borgia. I am the host of The Mosquito along with Nancy Giles. Nancy is flying through the ether and will join us via pre-recording shortly.
Nancy, we love you.
We miss you bad.
We miss you. Come back.
I'm here with Stephen Patterson of Bridge Street Theater and John Soule, also of Bridge Street Theater. Stephen just played Miss Gulch in Miss Gulch Returns, which I just closed at Bridge Street Theater. And you gentlemen have some plans to stream this property?
We're looking to do that. Yeah, we have permission from Fred Barton, the composer, to put it online. So we did a recording, a video recording of it. So we're hoping to edit that down and make it available online the next couple of weekends. So it's kind of work in progress. We're not quite sure how it's going to happen, but keep in touch. You know, check out bridgestreettheater.org and you'll see it, and we'll be, you know, pushing it in the next few days.
It'll actually be there when it's there. It'll pretty
be
soon.
There when it's there.
Pretty
yeah,
darn
we,
soon.
We hope so, yeah.
While it's still warm.
Right, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, we don't want to have to exhume it.
Well, we've got other things happening at the theater, so.
Oh, really? Like what? Not
well,
that you're selling tickets
we'll,
or anything.
We'll, yeah. we'll talk
no,
about that
like,
later, yeah.
Not like we're trying to publicize anything that we've got coming up in advance.
No, we wouldn't do that. No, you can check the Bridge Street Theater website. There's always excellent stuff going on. And
well, there wasn't. There wasn't for an awfully
long time.
Well, there wasn't live in the theater, but you all kept it going.
Yeah,
through the dark days, and we're hoping that it was great to be able to see people in person, see you in particular in person performing, and it's good that you guys have the good taste to not like pack your cast with thousands of people. Just Stephen and Tom Judson, worth the risk, I would say. And
Tom in particular, ha cha cha.
Tom, yeah, he's a nice little.
Tom is such a great guy.
He's a great guy. He's handsome. He can play the piano like nobody's business.
And he's a multi-instrumentalist.
Multi-instrumentalist. All right. Well, okay, so what we're going to do here is I think we're going to let Stephen and John get back to their business. I'm going to close out here with everyone worth taking. You want to give us a little intro to this, Stephen? And
actually, in the show comes almost immediately after Pour Me a Man. Where she's, Elmira is expressing her desperation to be in a relationship with a man, and then this number comes immediately after. Fred really talks about that in his instructions to people who are doing the show, and we put that in our note in the program too. He says, it's relatively easy to bring down the house with a raunchy, Pour Me a Man. But if you're really doing your job as a performer, you can almost instantly bring the audience to relatively uncomfortable silence with this number that's coming up, which is really about we can all sort of laugh at this poor single woman who's desperate for some kind of romance, and then you have this number where she's going, that's really what I'm after. I'm a lonely love-starved woman, and I wish desperately that I had some kind of love in my life. So, we hope it worked that way. Anyway.
All right. Thank you guys very much for joining me. And
thank you, Carmen.
Let's
thank
hear
you,
a little Carmen. Everyone Worth Taking.
There's nothing like the moment when you first meet the love of your life and the love crush, and your second most recent crush rushing into each other's arms. Look on the bright side, it proves you've got taste when everyone you want's got an arm around their waist. But if your affection's a perennial waste, hang on to your Hollywood dreams, even on days when it seems everyone worth taking's been taken, everyone worth having's been had, and love's been made to those worth the making. And you'd go crazy if you hadn't already gone mad. You met a hot one, you haven't got one, your fantasy soon will come true. Oh, the one your heart broken for is already spoken for. Well, there you see, it's true, just minus you. When you need a truth you can count on, Murphy can't beat love and its laws. Remember long past youth you can't count on romance and its few minor flaws. When you're the lonely one, you're the only one, you're Sleeping Beauty's kissed another cutie. So pace the floor and wonder till your face turns thunder blue. And everyone worth taking was taken
Everyone Worth Taking, and Steven Patterson singing that from the Bridge Street Theater production of Miss Gulch Returns. You know, we're glad she did, because it was a good evening of theater. So look for that at some point. That will appear, you know, on the Bridge Street Theater website, and you'll be able to see it on YouTube or something, probably totally for free, because that's usually how they roll with that sort of thing. So, yeah, that's right. So what we're going to do now is, let me cue up a little thing here. So we have a segment here that we did yesterday with Nancy Giles and Susan Burns, and I've done a quick little edit of that, and we're going to roll that for a little bit. And then after that, we're going to have a mosquito first, which is, it's going to be, because we're sort of still assembling our guest list here, but also because I'm musically ambitious, I'm going to do a freestyle live ukulele DJ with extra reverb set that's probably going to be about 50 minutes long. So strap in, people. And up until that, let me go find Nancy here and Susan, because they're gonna help us out beforehand. So you are listening to WGXC FM 90.7 Catskill Acre Hudson Radio for Open Ears. My name is Carmen Borgia. You're listening to the Mosquito.
Mic two. Okay, let's see what happens when we... Wow.
To the Mosquito on WGXC FM. We originated at Dixon Place in New York City on the Lower East Side. I think it was about 6 years ago. And we've got a great group of people that like to share stories, sing songs, whine, complain, pontificate, all in very, very funny ways.
Sometimes at the same time.
What's right at the same
sometimes
time?
Sometimes at the same time, yeah.
Sometimes it does overlap. Yeah, you do hear some whines and complaints right at the same time people are singing and stuff. Right, Carmen?
Well, we saw a performance last night, and someone will be joining us from it. And in the program, it said that it was both an homage and I think it might have been deconstruction. It wasn't. It was both an homage and a... and I just thought, oh my, both at once. This is going to be tough, but it was a super great show, and it was good. So who knows? I mean,
Oh, I like that. And in fact, I like the way that shows and comedy are being described these days. It's not, you don't hear terms like stand up quite as well. You still do hear that, but there's all kinds of other ways, like solo show, monologist.
Monologist, yeah.
You know, that's another one. And I think all of those things help to describe my friend of more than 30 years, Susan Burns, who is not only a hilarious person and very passionate about everything that she speaks about, from subway graffiti and rodents and being a member of the Actors Studio and living in California and going to nonverbal dinners, just hitting a couple of the plot points of some of the stuff that Susan's spoken about that I love. But she's just a great observer of our time. Susan Burns, hey, how are you, girl?
I'm very good, thank you, Nancy. Carmen, Allison, hello. It's nice to be here.
Hello.
What's been bothering you lately?
Well, okay, this is the thing. I do not like it when people say mean things to children, partly to distract them. Like, for instance, you know how children will say something like, how come the moon is so far away? Well, a lot of times parents, you know, they don't want to be bothered or they don't really know themselves. So they say things like, you know, well, maybe you should use a little elbow grease, or which has nothing to do with the moon at all. But you know how they say stuff like, well, you know, if a child's crying, they're like, they don't know what to do. So they're like, yeah, you need a stiff upper lip, or don't cry, or this other nonsense, or don't get upset. So, but the worst thing, I think one of the worst things you could possibly say to people, especially children, is, well, never complain and never explain. Complaining is my lifeblood. Complaining is an art, a science, a game. It's wonderful. It's part of my life. It's a big part of my life. Now, okay, let me give you an example of complaining can be a very bonding experience. For instance, you could meet a partner, you could meet a husband, a wife, a partner, okay, or friends of life. Okay, let's suppose you're at the doctor's office. Okay. So your appointment's at 12:30 and it's 12:45 and you don't want to make waves and say something like, I'm busy, but you know, you do want to. So finally you turn to the person next to you and you say, what time is your appointment? Mine was at 12:15. Oh my gosh, that's earlier than mine. Oh my goodness, what should we do? And then you go back and forth, you're bonding, you're becoming friends. New Yorkers love to complain, you know, and that's why I'm living in New York. So one time, there's a couple of years ago, there was a big snowstorm and there was this little older woman. She was very, very short and the snowbank was even higher than she was, you know, how they plow the streets and everything. And it's a big snowbank. So we were waiting for the bus. We were waiting for the number 11, which some of you may know goes down Columbus Avenue to the Village. Right. However, every time we were waiting and waiting, every time the bus came by, it was number 7, number 7, number 7. So I said to her, oh, this is terrible. I have to go to the Village. And, you know, she said, I do too. And we were very sad and it was cold. So finally, we were complaining and bonding together. And then finally, I had the nerve to say to the number 7 driver after like the fifth number 7 bus, no number 11. I said, excuse me, but is the 11 coming? We don't know. It's a different garage. Well, I mean, that's not very nice to some lady and me. So, of course, then we bonded even more and became very friendly, the woman and I. How dare that man say, how dare that driver behave that way, you know? So that's the kind of thing. Another thing that's very bad is that men, I mean, unfortunately, men do this. Okay, that is trying to fix the thing when you're just complaining about it. In other words, you have to complain, get it out of your system, discuss it, dissect it, validation. My friend Joy would say validate, and then you can move on. You can't move on unless you've discussed it and dissected and complained about it first and got no upset. It's not a good thing.
So do men get in there and try to solve it? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, they try to solve things. And you want
we don't want to hear it. We just want to,
No. We are not fixing. We're not solving now.
Yeah, that's not solving the problem.
We're angry now. We're complaining now. If you start fixing things and solving things before you're out of the anger, you'll get in an anger spiral and never get out of it. Okay, so that's what's going to happen. Now, another thing is, one other rule is this. Never say it's not that bad. Of course it is. And never, ever say, it's not that hot. Of course, or even worse, if I say something like, oh my God, it's so hot. Well, it's summer. No, that's not the right thing to say. It's summer. That doesn't mean it has to be sweltering and humid and horrible and smell horrible. Anyway, okay, let me give you, this is a very good example of someone who's completely wrong in every way in terms of the complaining game. Okay, so I live near, in New York, when I'm there, which is most of the time, I live near Riverside Park, which is, as you may know, right by the Hudson River. Okay, right. Well, sometimes we know there are certain kind of animals that we don't like, namely rats. Okay.
R-A-T-S, yes, okay, I can't say it.
And also, another horrible man who used to be the president, I was saying to myself this morning, you know what? He's not even a human being. He's more of a monster. It's not even human. And anyway, in any case, so he built some horrible buildings with names on them down the street, his name on them down the street from me. And that was a big upheaval and more of the, you know, what's, you know, came out of hiding or whatever. Okay. Mm-hmm. So one day I'm near my house, which is near, you know, the river. Okay. And I see a big, you know what, going along. And right near them, near this creature, was a woman with a toddler by the hand.
Oh, my God.
So I was horrible. So I said, oh, my God, look at that. And she goes like this. This is the wrong thing to say. Haven't you ever seen a rat before? No. That's like someone saying, it's not that hot. No, wrong. What she should have said was, oh, my God, I know. Isn't this awful? And I have a toddler with me. Then we could have bonded. Instead, I despised her because she was wrong. I'll give you an example of a good kind of bonding and complaining.
Namely, good response. Okay.
An Irish man. Okay. We were in Dublin, some people in my family. Okay. And so we were tired and hungry, of course, and it was late at night and we had to go into this hotel. So someone said, you go down the street to this little deli kind of place. So we did. Unfortunately, my debit card, I didn't register it or do whatever you're supposed to do when you go to Europe because I forgot. So we went there, my niece and I, and we were very hungry and we couldn't get anything because it wasn't proper, you know. Right. So we get back to the hotel and there's this tall red-haired man named O'Sheen. And I said, oh my God, we're so hungry. This is so horrible. And I told him what happened. And he goes, oh, Jesus Christ, that's the worst thing I've ever heard of in my life. So that's the way to behave, right?
I love O'Sheen. That's a guy to meet. Yes.
See, that's the way to go. So I wanted to say that one thing about New York that's so great and many is there's so much to complain about.
Mm-hmm.
Everything you could, everywhere you go, it's a paradise of complaining. Now another thing is, of course, the subway, which unfortunately, or fortunately, I guess depends on how you look at it. Plenty of room to complain, you know, plenty of opportunities. So sometimes it seems that it's always crowded, doesn't it? It's like if you live in LA and you have to get in the car, it's always rush hour and it's always bad. So same thing in New York, it's always crowded and frankly horrible. And this is the thing that really I have to stop is I want to hurt them who stand in the doorway, because then you can't get out, you can't get in. And frankly, you're causing people to be late for work because right. Every time you have to wait for the, what is the matter with them? So of course I've had altercations with people. It's horrible. I have.
I mean, there's a sign that's posted that says don't lean on the door. So wait, what happens when somebody's on the door? What do you do? Well,
I said something and I used a word that wasn't very attractive.
Come on.
And someone said something like, oh, you think someone of your age would be a little more dignified. Yes, she did. She did. It was horrible. But just get out of or sometimes I actually, this was so ridiculous. There was a couple who were standing in the doorway, sort of like making out and holding hands. I said something like, would you be happier if you weren't in the doorway? I mean, what are you doing? But then people think that, you know, there's something wrong with me, which of course, God forbid, there isn't, of course. I'm perfectly normal. But anyway, we'll say one more thing and then I'll be it. Okay. So we talked about this, Nancy and I, we laughed about these things about graffiti. So
oh, yes, I was going to, yes.
one thing to complain about is in the subway today, there are no creative minds doing graffiti. It's like putting a mustache on somebody or someone who's in a film. They, you know, they black out their eye or make them look like a vampire. What's creative about that?
Nothing.
So there was, I remember that, oh God. Okay. You know how they always try to make you think that people who are in a newsroom together are old friends and, you know, this is weird. And so there was one, this was a while ago.
Right.
There was, remember poor old Tom Snyder, God bless him.
Yes.
On the Tomorrow Show. Okay. So I think he was in somehow in this group of, you know, we're just friends, the weatherman and the, you know, right. The lady that does the news and then the lady does entertainment.
Right.
And so somehow they all were like in gym outfits with like towels around their neck or something. Yeah. Yeah. So maybe it was someone like Connie Chung, maybe?
Or Ernie Anastos or somebody, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So Ernie Anastos. Yes. Yes. That was it. And so over his head, they put something like token white man. And then it was a woman, an Asian woman. And they said token Asian woman. And some man that was black. And they said token black man. But then over poor old Tom Snyder's head, it said token sheep material. What does that mean?
But that is intelligence. That is New York City intelligence.
That is intelligence. Now, of course, the one of the greatest of all was, okay, now I might not be able to use this word on the radio, so I'll have to.
But, it may have to be bleeped, but go for it. I think I
can. I can bleep. I have the ability.
Okay, all right. So remember the most wonderful, one of the best inventions of mankind was the Roach Motel.
Absolutely.
One of the greatest. Okay. I spent the whole like years in the 70s trying to figure out how to get rid of roaches. And did I ever tell you the story about how I went to some, what the hell was I going to? Some convention of some weird thing. And there was a woman with a, like a cat loving woman, not that there's anything wrong with cats, but she was a cat person with like cat hairs and cat pins all over. So I said to her, because of course I was always obsessed about getting rid of roaches. And I said something to her like, well, what do you use to get rid of roaches? And she said, I use love. Love.
I mean, borax love. Is much, much.
Yeah. Or there used to be something called J.O. Roach Paste that I used. You put it on some wax paper. It was preposterous. But in any case, so the great invention of all mankind, of course, is the roach motel. Las cucarachas entran, pero no pueden salir.
The translation for that?
Oh, yes. They can go in, but they can't get out. Okay. So there was a man, a very brilliant man wrote this graffiti. So there's this roach, and he looks like he's a guy sort of thing, I guess. And he looked like he was going in the Roach Motel. And he said, I'm a go in there, fuck that bitch. So I thought that was a very apt, you know, very creative way to, you know, graffiti.
There's anyway, a position of dialogue that wouldn't have been there otherwise, and was useful forward of the
story. Right, exactly. It's useful. It's educational. You know, go along. So I think that's all I have to complain about today. Although
today.
There's always more. But thank you so much for letting me share my complaints.
Of course, that was Susan Burns, everybody. And Susan, just so that our listeners know, you're normally an Upper West Sider and you're talking to us today from Nantucket, right? You've been there this summer?
I am, and I'm giving information. That's my job. I give information to people.
Now, what's that been like? Because you're almost a Nantucket resident. So you're there when it's regular, you know, when the regular occupants are there, and then you also experience the summer influx. Can you just give us a bit of what that's like?
Well, they are, today some of them are angry because the Whaling Museum is closed, which is a wonderful museum,
mm-hmm.
and the tours are all booked up, so people are angry, and I don't blame them, but it's not really my fault. It's
right.
Not my fault.
Oh, dear.
Some said, I hope you have a better day, and I said, well, I hope so, but it's not my fault. I didn't do anything. Yeah, it's weird. But see, the thing is that there are places here that, well, they say things like, well, that's where their New Yorkers go, you know, because they have attitudes sometimes. Not me or none of us, of course. But there are these horrible places now, like C&B Scene, that didn't exist in years, you know, gone by.
What
sort
is
of a Hampton-ish kind of thing. Yeah.
What is C and B?
Susan.
You know, see and be seen. You know, like go there to see.
Yes.
And be seen. You know what I mean?
But that's like the name of a, is that the name of a gathering spot or
no,
a
no, no, it's just this horrible, there's this horrible new magazine that has those, what are those things called where you click on it with your phone and find out what the menu is? What are those
QR
things?
Codes.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
so little, you have to look at the, God forbid that they would put the menu, you have to look at the QR code to find out what's there.
Well, you have to prove that you have a phone in order to be able to use it.
Exactly, like. Yeah. So then, yeah, it's horrible. So anyway, they have categories like see and be seen, another horrible, trendy,
I see what you mean. Like places where you're like, you might wind up on page six or you might see celebrities or some crap like that.
That kind of thing. Sort of Hampton-ish.
Oh, which, gosh.
You know.
Who were some of the Nantucket celebrities, just out of curiosity? Like who's have you seen over the years that are regulars?
Well, Tim Russert and his family. They live here, but he's very nice. And then Tom Brokaw used to come to the, not Tom Brokaw, oh my God, Brian Williams.
Used
to come to the film festival, but there's a really good film festival here that features the screenwriter. And Ben Stiller was here, actually, one of the greatest, there's a comedy round table. And anyway, it was really fun. And Ben organized it. And Mike Myers was here. And,
oh, wow.
Yeah, some fun people come. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
And Barbara Koppel, the documentary filmmaker.
Oh, she's amazing.
Oh, she made that film about Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings.
Yes. And great. Also, didn't she do Harlan County? Was that her as well?
That was the thing that sort of made her famous.
Yep.
She's so talented.
Everything
wow.
She does.
Yes. Well, I guess I will say goodbye.
Okay. Okay, Susan, we miss you. New York is not the same without you. Nantucket's lovely, lucky to have you. And a little remark about something that you said that reminded me of one of those wonderful New York scenes where if you just talk to people, whether it's a complaint or just a remark, it's amazing the kind of responses you get. I used to park my car when it was inexpensive to park at a parking lot that was around the corner from where I lived in Hell's Kitchen. And there was one morning where I parked the car and saw the guy and waved, and I walked about a half a block up the street and realized I still had my car keys. So I turned around and went back and I said to the guy, oh my God, I'm so sorry, I forgot. And I handed him the keys and I said, what do you do when people forget their car keys? And he thought for a second and he said, I kill myself. And we both laughed and laughed and laughed. And I went on my way. I love those little back and forth. They're the best.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. Thanks, Susan. I think you're going to encourage our listeners to get in touch with their inner complainer and celebrate it.
Yes. Thank you.
My dear.
Right.
See you.
Much love to everybody, Carmen, Allison, Nancy. I'll see you later.
Okay. Yeah. Bye, Susan.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, so that's a nice pause. So, okay.
All right, so that's cool. So that's
beautiful. Okay, how's that? I mean, a couple of times she repeated some stuff, but I think it'll put it in the clear for when you need it, right?
Yep. No, that's super great.
Oh, good.
Susan ends. Now, here's the thing. So, yeah, we just let it record, and we're just going to trust that. And I started recording it here on another thing.
Excellent.
A few minutes in. So we have a semi-backup going
on. Okay.
So that's fine. So, okay, and that's still going. I don't know. What else do we want to do? So that's...
Well, we've got her, and I've got a story I can read.
Mysteries of the Zoom call revealed. All right. So this is the unedited part. You're listening to WGXC FM 90.7, Catskill, Acre, Hudson. Radio for open ears, community radio, WGXC. You're listening to Carmen Borgia, this week's host of The Mosquito, with Carmen Borgia and Nancy Giles. Got a little pre-recorded Nancy.
Well, let's see. Generic talk.
I know. I haven't seen you in a while. Like, we haven't done a live show in a while, Carmen. How does this feel to you? Allison, how does it feel to you?
Here we go.
Well, it feels a lot like everything feels right now. You know, I always thought there'd be the before the pandemic, the during the pandemic, and the after the pandemic. And this, there's no such thing, at least in our current, there's not after the pandemic. There's weird little shots of light and joy that come across your bow.
Yeah.
And they go away, and then they come again, and then they go. It's like these little asteroids or something flying by. Oh, there's joy. Oh, that's normalcy. And then it goes back to pandemic times.
To Blur's Day, you know, to that kind of Blahville that we've all been living through.
But like last night, we went to the theater for the first time in almost, well, I hadn't been in, 2 years. That was my bad. I just hadn't been to live theater. But, you know, we went into a theater. Now, there were only probably 15 people in the theater, and we were pretty well spaced out, but we all had to be vaccinated. We all had to have masks on. And so I think this is like that for me too. This is reminds me of normal times, because we used to come down to Dixon Place, and I know all the people who you bring in. And so all that feels normal, but the rest of it, being in the basement together and talking on Zoom, that's all still weird.
Yeah. I mean, I've adjusted in the sense that even though it's a disconnection, I do feel a bit of a connection to people, because not only is what we're doing in present time able to be heard by other people, but, you know, if things are recorded or whatnot and preserved, people can listen to them from all over the place. But I know what you mean. And then you said there were 15 people in the audience. So were people spaced out? I mean, I guess I'm wondering what's going to happen in smaller theaters as opposed to Broadway, which has actually started opening again. I guess they're filling all the seats and there's protocols that have to be filled. But what about what you saw? How was it a small audience because of the size of the place?
It's an
88 seat theater.
84 seat theater.
84.
Yeah.
Okay.
Catskill, New York. So it's up, you know, it's up in the country.
Right.
A little bit. So it's not like a city thing, but it's, you know, the size of a city space. It's kind of got actually more space around it inside, you know. So it's not cramped. It feels comfortable enough. I think they, you know, they deal with equity actors and there, so it follows those rules.
Yeah, they had air purifiers on when we got in, which I'm sure wasn't, you know, Carmen was pointing out was probably an equity requirement.
Yeah, the unions have been pretty vigilant about making sure things are as clean and protected and healthy as possible, working condition wise, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's funny because that's a funny thing is, so for the audience, it's not working conditions. It's like, you know, it's just it's just the place they go in. It's a service industry.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, we're going to be entertained. I'm like, what are the noisy things over there for? Those are bugging me.
They keep them on during the performance?
No, they totally didn't. They turned them off. Yeah. Everything about the show was great. Like all of the only thing that was bad were my, you know, any anticipations that were negative that turned out to be unfounded.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
Yeah.
And the star of that show we're going to meet a little bit later, is that right?
Steven Patterson is he'll either be before this or after this.
Okay.
So, it's okay. We'll let him but he'll be visiting us in the studio.
That's going to be fun.
They've got a couple clips from the show they'll play. You know, it's super good. It's just very well crafted, you know, drag show women done wrong songs.
Oh man.
Delivered gustily.
With that special gusto that men can provide. I love it.
That only a man who's never been rejected quite in that way can provide, but maybe has been rejected in other ways that we can't quite comprehend. So it's all there. It's for the people. I felt very I felt very welcome and happy to be there.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah, it was super great. So so we'll have Steven elsewhere in the show, and he'll either tell us how he did it, or he'll just be doing it, or
he'll be doing like more stuff, more shtick.
He'll set us straight. I mean, he's a decent guy, and he lives in the area, and he and John run the Bridge Street Theater.
Okay.
So you know them, you've met them, and all that stuff, and it's an opportunity to drag him over to the house here and
drag him over. No pun intended, huh?
And I don't know if he's going to be. Well, the show is. It's about Miss Gulch, which is the character in the beginning that becomes the Wicked Witch of the West.
And her theme song is.
This play is all sung from the point of view of Miss Gulch, sort of.
Wow.
And the actress that did it, and how she was the only one who didn't get to sing a song. And
Margaret Hamilton.
So it's kind of a great Margaret Hamilton, and he looks fucking awful lot like Margaret Hamilton.
Wow.
you know, I don't know. He pulled it off, so to speak. So I was very impressed.
Yeah. You know, I think Margaret Hamilton was actually on a couple of episodes of I Love Lucy playing different characters. And I can remember as a kid, like hearing her voice and kind of going, wait a minute, you know, like you don't always associate the face. It was the same thing that happened to me when I was watching the movie Breakfast at Tiffany's, and Audrey Hepburn is going to visit this gangster in jail. And he says something to her like, thanks, Holly. And I went, oh, that was Fred Flintstone. And it was. It was Alan Reed, who was the voice of Fred Flintstone. It was a scary feeling, just all of a sudden going, that's not what I thought of.
You're trained on Fred. And, you know, the thing about voices is you do voiceover. You have to sound kind of iconic. Even if and each one sort of occupies a certain amount of DNA, so it's a very funny little dance people have to do to not sound like each other, but you know, to carve out their own space. I mean, you have a very distinctive voiceover sound, which is cool.
Oh well, thank you, Carmen. Actually, as you say that, I'm trying to see if I can just quickly get my hands over on this. Hold on, keep talking about voiceovers. This part would have to
be. There was a time when you were doing voiceover for New York Times TV spots,
right?
And there was once or twice when I was trying to describe it to Nancy Jones, I said, she does the New York Times TV, and they go, oh yeah, that voice. Your voice was memorable, you know, your voice is memorable, you hear it like and you know, these guys who do like the In a World, you know, the movie thing.
Oh, I know the trailers. I actually did one. They don't use women as much as they should. I actually did a trailer for a movie for one of Parker Posey's early movies called Party Girl. And but you know what, since you mentioned voiceovers, I'll give people a little history of my voiceover life with a little story that I wrote.
Please.
Yeah, that's good, yeah.
Okay, all right, so here we go. I think I loosely call this story, It's a Voiceover Life, homage to It's a Wonderful Life, because a voiceover life sometimes is not so wonderful. Anyway, okay. When I started doing voiceover work, I did spots for cute, sexy, fertile, girlish things like tampons, hair coloring, makeup. Sometimes I was even the vocal half of a fun, sexy, fertile couple. And years have gone by, and now I do spots for postmenopausal osteoporosis, women with bladder control problems, Botox, shaken leg syndrome. I accidentally once called that shake and bake syndrome. And technically, it's restless leg syndrome. And wasn't that the thing that all those smart, nerdy kids used to do while they sat in class? Remember how their legs would like shake uncontrollably? I used to try to like cultivate that shake. Anyway, it's the circle of life as voiceovers go. Some time ago, I did promos for Lifetime, television for women. Until they kicked most of the women off and they put men on their voiceovers. So that's television for women who hate women, apparently. You might remember some of the Lifetime movies, Killer in My Bed, Mother, May I Sleep with Danger, that kind of thing. Anyway, the meanest person I ever worked for was unfortunately a woman. Let's just call her Satan for the purposes of this story. She was a mean, youngish, pinched woman with that, I just had a baby and I'm still producing milk, so don't screw with me attitude, okay? And she always had her hands in her hair. She was doing all those things that some white girls have done with their hair all of my life, flipping it to the left and flipping it to the right and then flipping it all the way from back to front and then putting their hands in their hair and combing it back and this real concentrated look while they would curl the hair behind their ears, you know? I can't explain why. Well, I can. My hair didn't go like that. So each of those little hair moves in some ways was like a screw you, I felt, directly, you know, aimed at me. Anyway, I would watch Satan from the sound booth as she would shake her hair at the engineer and they'd eat. She would bring her breakfast. It was almost always like runny looking oatmeal with raisins in it. This I had to watch from my little mic area. And she would give me different directions on how to read the different scripts. I had to say something like, next on Golden Girls, Blanche's brother comes out of the closet. Can she handle it? Followed by another episode of Golden Girls. And, you know, she would critique me every time I did anything, you know. has anyone ever told you that you have a tendency to end your sentences in the air? And, you know, when someone tells you something like that and they're totally off base, all kinds of things go in your head, you know? I mean, lots of curse words. Are you fucking out of your mind? Or sometimes it would just, in my mind, I would say, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you. Or I'd want to, like, hand her a pair of scissors or something. I mean, she bothered me so much that I used to have dreams about her at night. And in the dreams, since she was so full of herself with her hair, she was bald. And there was a giant pair of scissors, like, chasing her around. And in the dream, I would show up at her Hastings-on-Hudson house, and I'd bang on the door with a big do-rag around my head, and I'd be, like, 8 months pregnant because I would have, let's say, seduced her husband, and I'd say something like, yo, you my baby daddy, where you at? You know, that kind of thing, just to really drive Satan crazy. But these are the kind of horrible fantasies that I had. And, you know, I'd have to come back to work and keep hearing her giving me stupid notes, you know. Can you say, you know, let's say the promo was something like killer in my bed. And she'd say, you know, can you say it with a little laugh? Oh, okay. Killer in my bed. Next on Lifetime. Or she'd say, could you give it a little more? She'd never want to say black or ethnic. She would sometimes snap her fingers and say, give it a little more street sound. And I'd sort of bite my lips and say, killer in my damn bed. Something like that, just to get her off my back. What would happen is time after time, I would say, God, she gets paid for this. And the whole thing was bad. I couldn't stand her. And it turned out that she would torture the female voiceover artist because she wanted to do voiceovers. But with a voice that went like that, she was never going to do voiceovers. So I don't know what happened. But finally, one day, I had just about had it. And I called my agents and I said, that's it. Actually, that's a big lie. I think I called my agent and said, is there some way that you could, like, pretend that I'm not available? Because I don't want to burn any bridges, but I hate this woman's guts. And luckily, my agents cleared it up. I needed the money, I want you to know. But she made me so angry, I didn't want to even be there anymore. So that finally, that last day, I left the studio, the doors of the elevator were about to close. And then, as luck would have it, like a little umbrella pole stuck in, and it was her, Satan, who got on the same elevator with me. We didn't speak. The elevator went down 14 flights, and I thought, I have to say something. I can't let this whole thing go and not confront her. And so, honest to God, I rode down in the elevator and I hummed very loudly. This is what I hummed. Try to give it a little soul. Luckily, we got to the ground floor. Doors opened. She went her way toward Grand Central Station. I went toward Hell's Kitchen. And I was so pissed with myself that all I could come up with was humming. And I don't know, I just kept reveling in the fantasy of really confronting her. And the more I reveled in that fantasy, the more I realized it could make a perfect Lifetime made-for-TV movie. And the promo would go something like this. A bitch producer pushes a brilliant black voiceover actress one step too far. Heather Locklear. Okay, that reveals how old this is. So let's see. We'd have to update it with a better...
Don't stop now.
Well, who? Yeah, some now actress. Who would that be? I don't know. God, I'm blanking. Who are some of the actresses out now?
We're too old.
Scarlett
no.
Johansson.
Scarlett.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. That's great. Okay, thanks, Allison. Okay, I'm going to do this again. A bitch producer pushes a brilliant black voiceover actress one step too far. Scarlett Johansson. Beyonce. A Lifetime television movie. My mulatto baby father. Saturday at 9 as part of Lifetime's Women Killing Women Weekend. And that was my fantasy about seducing her husband and whatnot. So anyway, very, very satisfying to have these nasty fantasy voiceover moments, Carmen and Allison. It helped me to just write these things down and get them out of my system.
Well, she blew it because she could still be having the iconic Giles voice without
any. Oh, you know.
And the other thing is, I want to thank you for I don't think I've ever heard such a passive aggressive "We Shall Overcome."
Like, oh, thank you. Yeah, a passive aggressive. No, I mean, "We Shall Overcome" hummed without the words.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is to sing it would have been passive aggressive, but to hum it is like it's a quantum level jump to a whole.
Well, and I really did do that. I mean, this is not a lie. Now, I will say this. I don't think I hummed it quite as loudly as I'm doing it to you, because I want to make sure everybody can hear it. But it was at that moment about as aggressive, a passive aggressive move for a chicken like me to make to this girl. And it was, and I did it. And, you know, it did somewhat feel satisfying. You know, what can I say?
Sometimes that's all you got. You know, you just got to kind of, you know, you got to, I don't know what it is. I have a pair of socks that are like, what is it? Allison has a pair of socks that are like, fuck everybody today. Or they're very nice. They look like normal socks, but just above the cuff, you know, is fuck yeah. And
oh, you know, my God. I
yeah,
know.
So it's kind of like you can go in and feel like you're kind of protected and, you know, it's totemic, I guess.
It's true. You know what? Attention must be paid, even if it's in the smallest, littlest protest. We've all got a voice and we can use it or put it on our sock cuff link or whatever. I don't know. Sock, yeah.
Or a little pebble in our pocket or something.
Damn straight.
I don't know what it is, but you know.
Yeah. Right on, you guys.
Yeah. So I approve of that.
Thank you.
All right. That was the pre-taped segment with Nancy Giles and Susan Burns and Allison Davey and moi, Carmen Borgia. You are listening to WGXC FM 90.7 Catskill Acre Hudson Radio for Open Ears. All right. So everyone's wandered away. So you're left here with the Carmen Borgia Orchestra. And let's see if we can get something going here. You know, I think I'm going to roll at first with a little music, pre-recorded, but just to sort of bring the room down a little bit here. And so this is a song by a jazz group called Oregon, and this goes out to an old friend. Here we go. So roll it, baby. Thank you.
The hard days are gone and they don't mean
wanna be happy, I will take you along. All of the hard days are gone. All of the hard days are gone. Sometimes you just have so many knobs. Once I had a sweet love, always followed me around. The way I treated my little lamb was like the Marquis de Sade's new clown. I guess I hurt him, I guess I hung up, I guess I should have called him back. I guess I didn't care, maybe I left it there, maybe he do just acts like that now. What's the matter? Hey, baby, baby, what's the matter? Don't you want me? What's the matter? Now, baby, baby, what's the matter? Is this the real land? 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 Well, I had some dough, I had a big car. I turned around and all the money was spent. I don't know wherever it goes, but that's probably where my baby went. See, you got a new girl, she's so fine. She wants to be with you all the time. Well, don't tell her she's the only one of her. New girl becomes hard to find now. What's the matter? Hey, baby, baby, what's the matter? Don't you want me? What's the matter? Hey, baby, baby, what's the matter? Is this the real end? 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 Can I tell you about it? Thank you. Once you find yourself a better girl, treat her special all the time. Make her some catfish fried up in bed. Don't leave her hanging on the telephone line. But keep her guessing, don't tell her where you are. Keep your linen to yourself. Keep your bank account, and what you don't worry about, if you can get well, just might work out. What's the matter? Hey, baby, what's the matter? You look so funny. What's the matter? Hey, baby, baby, what's the matter? Is this the real end? 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 That was a Ricky Lee Jones song from the album The Magazine. I've kind of always wanted to do that crazy song. And then, you know, there's a gospel song that I want to do. And I was kind of thinking about gospel songs that are might be secular. I always wanted to write secular gospel music. I thought it was kind of a cool thing. And I don't know. I don't know if it's a thing. But I'm always on the lookout for gospel songs that seem to have a universal thing. And this one is called Let the Lower Lights Be Burning. And this is Johnny Cash has done this song. I'm going to guess this song is maybe from the 20s, but it might be from the 1880s or the 1920s, somewhere between in that zone. And the imagery is that there's a lighthouse. And the lighthouse is the big shining light that warns everybody, and it's the obvious thing. And the lighthouse in this song is represented by Our Father's Mercy. So that would be power of the Lord above from his lighthouse evermore. But after the first two lines, they dispense with that, the author, and skips to, but he gives to us the keeping of the lights along the shore. So when you're a ship and you're out on the sea, you're looking at the shore, you see the lighthouse, and that's an obvious thing. But then it's also very helpful if there's a lot of little lights. And so the song is about how even if you're not the giant lighthouse, you can help out a little bit. Brightly beams our Father's mercy from his lighthouse evermore, but to us he gives the keeping of the lights along the shore. Let the lower lights be burning, send a gleam across the way. Some poor fainting, struggling seaman you may rescue, you may save. Dark the night of sin has settled, loud the angry billows roar, eager eyes are watching, longing for the lights along the shore. Oh, let the lower lights be burning. Send the gleam across the way. Some poor fainting, struggling seaman, you may rescue, you may save. Trim your feeble lamp, my brother. Some poor sailor, tempest tossed, trying now to make the harbor in the darkness may be lost. Lend a lower lights be burning. Send the gleam across the way. Some poor fainting, struggling seaman, you may rescue, you may save. Thank you. If this is the best that we got, I don't know. It's such a long shot over all those good objections. Smiling just to make connections. It's enough to make you scream and wish you'd never had that dream about the rocket and the rainbow. Here we go. All you really need is a dollar and a dream. Well, I know everything about this, elbow grease and nerves of steel. Oh, tell me all about it, with rabbit's foot and an eagle eye, an angel watching over you, and little luck, you just might make it through. I tried to drive around the trap while fumbling, find my bootstrap, the highway stripes, there were puffs of vapor. I'd use the map for toilet paper. I thought I'd caught me a glimpse of that clover just before they pulled me over. Best damn vision that I ever had, but I can't be sad. All you really need is a dollar and a dream. Well, I know everything about this, elbow grease and nerves of steel. Oh, tell me all about it, with rabbit's foot and an eagle eye and an angel watching over you, and little luck, you just might make it through. All you really need is a dollar. All you really need is a dream. All you really need is a dollar. All you really need is a dream. All you really need is a dollar and a dollar and a. All you really need is a dollar and a dollar and a. All you really need is a dollar and a dollar and a. All you really need is a dollar and a dollar and a. All you really need is a dollar and a dream. Well, I know everything about this elbow grease and nerves of steel. Oh, tell me all about it. With rabbit's foot and an eagle-eyed angel watching over you. A little luck, you just might make it. All you really need is a dollar and a dream. Well, I know everything about this Elmo grease and nerves of steel. Oh, ho, tell me all about it. With a rabbit's foot and an eagle eye, an angel watching over you. A little luck, you just might make it through. Life is just a pirouette, balanced on our toes. Spin until the dawning, because turning and then twisting. Fail without a sound. You'll never end your journey, because the world goes round. Or it's an expedition down a winding road, on a creaking wagon, because that's not the sad decision. It's not the shifting ground. It's not the wheel inside your head, because the world goes round. You've been listening to The Mosquito, WGXC FM 90.7, Catskill Acre, Hudson, with your host, Carmen Borgia. You can make a shadow, but you can't move the sun. Here between the earth and sky, because I trade my shining future and all my dreams profound. You'll just to lie down motionless, because the world goes round. Just to lie down motionless, because the world goes round.
All right, we'll take you out at the end here. WGXC FM 90.7 Catskill Acre Hudson Community Radio. Yeah, let's see if I can do this one. I haven't done this in a while. Song by Peter Blagrad called Gold to Take Us Out. Gold would be worthless if it didn't require such heartache to seek it, to find it and mine it. Things remain precious as long as they're rare. If gold could be found lying round everywhere, it'd be the lowliest of metals, too soft for serious use. Pretty, of course, and warm to the touch, but no longer alluring when you've handled so much. The lowliest of metals. With me through the ice and the snow. She thought for a minute, and she said, let's go. I rode behind her, she rode ahead, and all through that winter, I'd lose her and find her. Our rations ran out, our horses were dead. She forgot what gold was, and I had to remind her, it's the lowliest of metals, too soft for serious use. Pretty, of course, and warm to the touch, but no longer alluring when you've handled so much. Prospector's shack, she lay out of her mind, describing how simple gold is to find. Just under the surface, in zigzagging veins, it lies there like branches of midsummer lightning. Just open a hole in the crust of the plain, she said, you reach in, and it's there for the taking. Snowblind and starving, I sat by her side as the fever raged in her and the storm raged outside. She said, now we are rich. I told her the truth. All the gold we had found could not crown a tooth. She said, these things I know without being told. We are rich in each other, so what good is gold? It's the lowliest of metals. Sometimes I dream that the world is reversed. I dream that accountants are rarer than poets. That things will get better, they can't get any worse. And a rich man has nothing but dirt in his purse. And gold is the lowliest of metals. Too soft for serious use. Pretty, of course, and warm to the touch, but no longer alluring when you've handled so much. It's the lowliest of metals. It's the lowliest.
lowliest of metals. It's the lowliest of metals.